tag November, November.
America Houston.
Go ahead.
Ron, we did not get the high gain to narrow. We have a sequence for you which is important to go through so that we do not break lock and lose this lunar sounder VHF data. We would like you to dial in pitch minus 4-5, yaw 5, go to manual and wide, and when you get signal strength, go to react, and then step through the beam narrow, medium, and wide, or say again, wide, narrow, medium.
Okay, I'm with you. Okay, we got minus 45 on the pitch, plus about 5 on the yaw.
That should be minus 45
and,
on a pitch.
That's what I said. That's what I got. Minus 45. And plus 5 on the yaw, right?
Affirmative. And we're ready for you to do it. Go ahead.
Okay, we're going to manual and wide.
That's great. We didn't drop any. That's great.
Okay. Hello, Bob.
Go ahead.
Okay, this is Gene. I've got a very interesting crater out in Tranquility. I'd like to pass some info on for you. Trion. It's out in the central part of Tranquility. It's got a very sharply raised lip, and it's got some very dark and rough rim deposits. It's got a very, very obvious median furrow. Looks like it's elongated basically to the, generally to the east and the west. I can't tell, but because of the shape of it, and because of those darker rib deposits, I'm sure there must be a vent there somewhere, but it's too dark down in there. I can't really see for sure whether there is one or not, but if there is, I imagine it's pretty big. And I can't tell, it's only sort of intuitive, but I imagine the elongation was produced during the thrust of the initial dynamics of formation of the impact.
Roger, Gene. Do you have a scale on the size of the crater?
Oh, stand by. Let me look. Bob, I'll have to give you an estimate on the relative size of it, but the length to width ratio is probably about 2-1, and certainly bigger than the Camelot size range.
Roger. That's good. Just want to pin it down for you.
Might be able to pick it out.
And whoever's got the flight plan in their hand, I've got a lunar sounder pad, which is at 232.20, and a pan camera pad, which is at 233.20.
Bottom keeper, the left-hand side, plus the manager of the flight plan here, so pass it up.
Okay, lunar sounder pad, T-start time, 232.2611. T-stop time, 3418.
Okay, 2611, 3418.
Okay, pan camera photo pad, which is over at 233.20. T start time, 233.2407. T stop, 3842. Roger, good copy. 17, just for your information. It's Miami 3, Baltimore nothing about midway through the first quarter, and Miami's making an effort to go undefeated today.
It's the last game of the season, isn't it?
That's right. This will be the undefeated season if they hack it.
Houston, America. I think I remember mentioned a couple of 3 days ago that when we first got up here that I had a heck of a time seeing that Tycho ray that goes out across Bessel. And I forgot to tell you that yesterday, kind of for the first time, it really started showing up when they were getting up in the higher sun. And today, it really shows up quite vividly. Just a ray that takes off from the edge of Christian, goes right across the Bessel. It goes out about the middle of Christian.
Roger.
I don't mean Christian, I mean the Serenitatis.
Right.
That's what I'm talking about, Serenitatis all the time.
Say, Bob, those craters on the southwestern side of Serenitatis still has got that orange hue at the sun angle, and that's with the naked eye.
Roger. These are the ones right in the Sulpicius Gallus region.
And Houston, 166, 167, we're taking of a crater that looks like it's got a reddish dike in it, and it's on in the Hemis Mountains to the west of Sulpicius Gallus.
Houston, a little more on that. It's an impact crater with a line essentially across the diameter in a east-west direction, maybe a little bit north of west direction, and the ejecta to the north of that, it just went under a screw. The ejecta to the north of the line is the orange, actually more red-brown than orange, although they're both hues in it.
Roger, Jack, can you give us some scale on that crater?
I mean, it looks similar to... Yeah, it's about a... 600 meter crater, and it looks very much like in its geologic pattern to the crater out in the Nevada test site on Buckboard Mesa. that had a explosion along a contact between two very sharply contrasting rock types. In this case, however, the line does not go completely across the crater, and that's why we feel it may be a dike or a vein that fortuitously has been hit by that impact.
Okay, can you give me a little relationship with respect to Sulpicius Gallus, the crater?
Yeah, I'll try to spot it in a minute.
Okay, why don't you just mark it on your map so for post-flight we'll have it.
On the somewhere around, and I'll try to spot it more exactly, on the 20 north latitude line at about 7 east on a ridge. It's right on top of a ridge, and I think it's that ridge. I'll try to spot it more exactly later.
Okay. On your less than a minute to lunar sounder, standby T stop time.
Okay, we're on about.
And America, just a reminder, when you're powering the Simbay up here again, the mapping camera laser altimeter cupboard is already open and the mapping camera is already extended.
Okay, Okay, Bob, we'll just eliminate those last two steps, is that correct?
That's affirmative.
Okay, you still want map the camera to stand by up there in the fourth step?
That's firm. Roger, thank you, Dean.
Okay, Houston, I guess you saw those, we got through those procedures and you probably saw most of the switching. Sorry, I should have been in box.
No problem.
This is Apollo Control. We're going to repeat the playback of the videotape of the explosive package number 7. Down in the, this will be the final time it will be played back. If you'll look in the lower left corner behind a slight ridge, you'll see a glow partway through the playback. Let's watch the playback now.
Go ahead.
One of the questions we asked ourselves years ago when we mapped the Copernicus area was, were we really seeing dark mantling deposits on some of the mass east of the Carpathian? And looking at it obliquely here, some of those areas that we mapped as dark mantling are distinctly brownish gray versus the normal tan gray of the most of the Carpathians that looks like it, and it's about the same color as extrapolating as the dark mantle around Sulpicius and Taurus Littoral.
Roger.
Also, the north boundary of the Carpathian Massifs have a very sharply defined high lava marks, and that's actually what we're seeing. And in I'll mark the place on the map, but it looks like it extends about a sixth to an eighth of the way up the highest peak. It's quite a striking and obvious mark. There's a major textural change. The below the mark are the little scarp that defines it. The texture is very smooth. Above that, it has the lineated and typical mountain front texture for the Apennine, for the Indian Ring.
Roger.
Bob, I might summarize my impression of the rills in the vicinity of Euler and their relationship to the Maury Ridges. I've been able to, over the last day, just generally searching it out, been able to find rills that clearly cross and separate portions of ridges, and ridges that clearly cross and partially bury rills. And in another, a third case of a rill that appears to be levied, that is, have banks, flat banks on either side, but near the end of it, it transitions into a Maury Ridge very clearly. It looks as if, to me, that the rill and ridge problem in here is just one of repetitive compression and extension within the superficial flows of the Imbrium Basin, and that possibly during the compressive stages there were extrusions locally along the ridge systems, but in the main part the ridge systems do represent, I think, a doming. It looks like just the doming of the Maury surface, except for these local ridge-like extrusions. I might also add that the rills, to me, seem to be made up of zigzag, straight-line segments rather than being truly sinuous. They appear sinuous because of the rounding of the corners, but in my impression is that that they're really made up of straight-line segments.
send Houston on MAC, Victor, Victor. Well, I'm on number 28 now. And the last ones before 28 there, we're taking the spacecraft Sunset Terminator.
Roger, Ron. Jack, we just had a feed into your answer to your question from ALSEP. The PI has not seen enough data at this time to draw any conclusions regarding the depth of the mantle in the landing area. And we've got another bomb charge due to go off here in about a short time. Let me check it.
Okay. I'll wait till we get back. Thank you.
Right. The next charge goes off in 15 minutes, Jack. I don't have an exact GET yet.
Bob, is the LeCrew still working?
Say again, please.
Bob, this is Gino. I just wondered if the LeCrew and TCU were still working.
They think the LeCrew failed last night. Gene, they're going to try it again today, but they could not get a raise it last night, and they think it's failed.
Okay.
We like auto and high gain, please.
150.
Go ahead.
Has Mark come up with a preliminary HEPO number yet, or is he still equilibrating?
We'll check that, Jack. Jack, nothing on that on the HEPO yet. It's still stabilized. It'll be a while before they get any data, but we're just watching the data play out here on the TV screen. They just had another one of those charges go off, and it really does wrap the old meters.
Excellent. The mapping camera's off, and the IR's off, man camera self-test is off, UV is off, and the data system's off, and smack power is off.
Okay, we copy that configuration change there. We're about 6 minutes to LOS. Just on the next pass, just be advised we're going to change the HF antenna retract times to let them warm up a little bit more. We'll call you on that before we want the HF antennas retracted. And just an update, it's Miami 10 to nothing over Baltimore at the half.
Okay, we'll stand by for a call on the retraction and got the score, 10 to nothing.
CSD. You want us to wait a couple minutes?
Right, we'd like to wait a couple minutes.
Okay, we'll stand by for your call on DSC and in the high gain.
Houston, America, are you given any odds on the time we might get the barber pole and the lunar center?
We don't think you'll get it this group, but that pad is now about a 4-minute pad. But it's getting so close, I'd like to watch it.
Oh, okay.
America, if we should lose you before our published LOS here, check the DSC, and when they get the barber pole, you can reconfigure. We're rewinding that tape now.
Yes, sir.
Okay, it's all rewound. You can go ahead and configure the DSC.
Say, Bob, what about a configure and high gain? We're getting close to G-start.
Roger, go ahead.
This is Apollo Control at 232 hours, 25 minutes ground elapsed time in the mission of Apollo 17. Spacecraft America has just gone behind the moon on revolution number 73, running the last lunar sounder pass in lunar orbit. Spacecraft will reappear again at the start of revolution 74 in approximately 48 minutes. We'll rejoin the conversation live when it resumes next revolution. And at 2:32:26 ground elapsed time, this is Apollo Control. This is Apollo Control, 233 hours, 8 minutes, ground elapsed time. Starting front side pass of revolution number 74, mission of Apollo 17. 40 seconds remaining until spacecraft acquisition by the antennas of the tracking network. Approximately 3.5 hours until the spacecraft leaves lunar orbit for the trip back to Earth. To reiterate the current predicted times of and values of the trans-Earth injection maneuver. Ignition time currently estimated at ground elapsed time of 236 hours, 42 minutes, 8 seconds. Burn time of 2 minutes, 24 seconds for a velocity increase in posigrade of 3,046.9 feet per second. We have Apollo 17 acquired on the high gain, apparently, right around the corner.
Hello, America. Houston is standing by.
Hey, America, or Houston, this is America. I'm clear. A little late on picking you up that time, but worked okay. Okay, on Mac Q, Quebec. It's finished right now, and whatever frame number it was on when they left the lunar surface to 143 kilo? Okay. Mag kilo, okay. Whatever frame they were on in the lunar surface to 143 were selected shots by the LMP. Frame 143 to 172 were near-side terminator photos of Sielkowski.
Okay, Ron, we copy that right per the flight plan change.
Okay. And pan camera stereo, check. Or let me get it. Verify standby and stereo. Okay, pan camera power coming on. Oops. Standby, yeah. Okay. Deal range high altitude. Okay, pan camera power. Okay, got the power. Okay, we've got a T-start coming up here at 24:07, 12 minutes. That's Gozaska, should be. Something. Yeah, that's Gozaska. Let's see, Houston, America. I only have one pan camera pad here, is that correct?
Let me see. We've got one sitting right in front of us for 233.40. Do you want that one?
I don't have that one. I've got the one that starts at 2407 and ends at 3842.
That's correct, and you don't have the other one because we never said it. We've got it here ready to go.
Oh, okay.
Okay, T start time, 233-4815. T stop is 234-0030.
Okay, photo pad is T start is 233-4815. T stop is 234-0030.
Roger, Ron, and let me give you some words here that you might be interested in. Right now we're looking at probably pulling in those antenna at 233-45 or 46, right in that time frame. If those maneuver, that should not work, we will have to jettison the antennas at around 235-39. We have, and we won't give it to you until we need it, we have a Verb 49 maneuver to a jet attitude for 234.25, and that'll keep in that attitude, and then we'll jettison the antennas at 235.43, and of course we'll have to bring up the logic power on those. We have this all available standing by, and there's no sense passing it until we find out how the antennas do on retract.
Okay, that sounds reasonable. Do you have the, or do you want to use the page in the experiments checklist there?
Roger, except for the noun 78s, we'll change those.
Oh, okay. Sounds good. It's in the Volkswagen. Pan camera. Bob,
while we're waiting for the pan camera time, a quickie here. One of the ways it seems to be useful for determining the relative age of the larger basins, to me anyway, is the abundance of block fields on the slopes of the walls or the slopes of the central peaks. That abundance decreasing with increasing age. And one of the comparisons that just made was that it looks as if Tsiolkovsky and Skoldoska have about the same abundance of block fields on both those features of the crater.
Okay,
presumably then would be about the same age.
Roger, Jack, I noted that.
Jack, to me, Skoldoska is a lot more subdued, though, than Tsiolkovsky is on the... Oh, okay. With that criteria, yeah. And Houston, the northernmost, I hate to use mud impact, but that's what I'll call it, boulder ring basin structure there in Smithy is also has a delta shaped rim to it. There's kind of a moat between the inner ring and the outer ring, and then it slopes, again, the gradual slope from the center of the crater up to the first basin ring with a steeper slope on the outside of the first ring going down into the moat. And then the outer ring has the delta-shaped rim to it.
Roger, Ron, we got it in.
Okay, 4 minutes to... And, Bob, you'll keep us honest on this pan camera's T-start, will you?
Sure will.
Okay, thank you. Houston searches may be interested to know CMB's blue bag number 5 was comparable to ground test number 3.
Roger, Ron.
I think I should probably add, no problem, no.
Understand, no problems.
That's affirmative. The LMP would like to make a comment, but I won't let it.
Things pretty miserable up there? Ground test bag number 3 wasn't the one you had to drive in with, was it?
Yep.
You're 30 seconds to T-start time on that pan camera.
Camera to operate at 07. Jack, I'll give you a mark on
standing by for it.
Okay, Burp 74, enter. Now, take a good... Here, I got a picture of one of those, but that star is kind of a classic, I think.
Ron, if you'll give us accept, we'll give you your TEI rest mat.
Outstanding. You have accept.
target, the DEI restaurant, there's a fairly striking robin on the very north edge of Facundo Tatis, south of Crisium, just south of Crisium, and it starts in the west within the Facundo Tatis Mare and then occurs gradually up through the sculptured hill structure to the north. And there's a crater, looks like a subdued impact crater, right on that structure. And you can see the trace of the graben down the wall, the west wall of the crater, and up the east wall. And it does, from directly overhead, it appears to taper downward. The walls of the graben, that is, get closer together as it approaches the bottom of the crater. And on the south wall of the graben, as exposed in the west wall of the crater, there's a fairly sharply defined white area in the talus.
Erica, the computer's yours. You can go to black.
Okay, we're in black.
With the old pan camera running, we probably can find that graben structure in there pretty well.
Yeah, we ought to get some good pictures. It isn't quite as good that way, but you do get some pictures of it. That's what I was trying to figure out. You just want that big crater we're going over right now in the Facundo Tatis. It's probably on your map then. Yeah, it's Arrhenius, that's it. Yeah.
Speaking of grabbings again, how's our pan camera time?
38, we still got the 83.
Speaking of grabbings again, on the south eastern blanket of Turonius, about a crater radius outward. There's a crater, looks like an impact, also on a trace of a graben. And in this case, the ejecta blanket that extends out along the graben, both to the west and to the east, is noticeably blue-gray against the tan-gray of the Facundo Tatis, or at least the Turonius ejector blanket. Basically, it looks like blue-gray wings on the crater along the direction of the graben.
Roger, Jack.
Looking at the crater stratigraphy in the north eastern and northern portions of Tranquility, it looks as if you could say that there are blue-gray Mare materials, overlying, very light gray material of some kind. Without any strong exceptions that I've seen, and it resembles the same stratigraphy that I think I talked about yesterday on the annulus of Serenitatis, and that goes along with what I think Ron told you, that the visual appearance of the annulus and the northern tranquility mare on the surface is indistinguishable.
That's right.
It also suggests that the mare in here is relatively thin if you're getting down to whatever the basement rock is, and that being represented by the light gray. The ledges of blue-gray material are high up in the crater and really appear to form only about, 1/5 to 1/6 of the wall height. And I'll give you a crater. There's a crater right between the two Cauchy rills that shows this fairly well, and Ross crater also shows it a little farther along, I remember from last time.
Cauchy crater, isn't it?
Yeah, Cauchy crater is the one I'm talking about that's between the two rills. Actually, it's not as well defined in Cauchy as it is in some of the other craters. The western end of the Cauchy rills, both the north and south one, seem to have a right lateral on echelon structure, but along the trace, still to the west of the crater Cauchy, that locally changes to left lateral.
Houston, even at the high sun angle here, the ejecta, the four or five recent craters here in Morali is still kind of a bluish gray, light bluish gray. The floor of the crater Morali is essentially a dark, more of a dark gray today, I guess, than anything. And the ejecta patterns on that are the same albedo and color distinctions as the ones in the landing site. And the landing site itself, from this angle, I think is going to, once we get up and get the same viewing angle as we had on Morali, the mantling material in the landing site is the same color, same albedo as Morali.
Right.
Still in the crater Morali.
I get just a tenth, or I still get a feeling that there's just a twinge of the orange or the tannish orange around Shorty, looking at it with the binocs. That black bump on the side and
let's see, south and the southern side of the South Pacific. Can you see that one, Jack?
Okay, we ought to be getting ready for T-38. About another minute, Jack. Pat Cameron, stand by. Okay, 35 now. We want to stop at a 42. Okay, mark it. Okay.
America, we'd like auto on the high gain.
Auto it is.
Ron, the numbers on magazine RR show that you have 9 spare frames, and you will need 9 frames there for calibration. So it looks like you'll have 9 frames on Mag RR for whatever you want to use them on.
Okay, let's see now. We have just this next pass coming up here.
That's affirmative, Ron.
We're sitting on 85 now. Okay, and Tsiolkovsky, we got those the last time with, on the lamp mag, is that correct? Hey Jack, we want to get D. Carl there to high sun here too, and then the crater with the back in it, because I think we probably should get those down pop up here, and then as soon as you finish with those, we'll switch mags, and I'll whip over there and take some Terminator photos.
Stand by, Ron. Just to answer your question on Mag Romeo, you can take it to an absolute number of 106 on the frame count. Then the remainder must be used for calibration.
Okay, the 106 as far as we're going. Okay, thank you.
America Houston, after we start the pan camera at 233.48.15, we would like then to go and start to retract HF antenna number two first, please.
Okay. As soon as we get the pan camera started, we'll go to retract on that. Jack, are you talking about the one that got the red ejected out to the east? Yeah, right now, just now, look down. Is that the one you were talking about? Yeah, okay, it's just not coming up. Decal there?
Yeah.
Okay. Way past the subsolar. Yeah, F8.
Houston on Papa Papa frames, let's see, 13 and 14 were of the crater with the red, brown, to orange vein across it, and 15 and 16 were of De Caldera. Stereo pairs.
Do you get dark slide check?
In Houston, I saw at least two other examples of impact craters in the highland south of Serenitatis, south of the Sulpicius area that had vein-like distribution of red, brown, or orange material in them.
Roger.
For Terminator, but you want to handle the retract to the terminal? No, not yet. As soon as we, at 4815, put a pen camera to operate. Yeah, and then we start retracting HF number 2. Okay, 4815, stand by. 11, 12, 13, 14, mark it. Okay. And Houston, HF antenna number 2 is going to retract. 3, 1, mark it. Barber pole. They can see it down there. But in case, we'll see. I think they've been taking about 2 minutes. Last time, I forgot for sure. Houston knows. How long is it supposed to take to retract number 2 this time? Any guess?
130 seconds would be nominal retraction.
130. Would be nominal. Number 2, yeah. No, that's number 1 on your side. That's the one that we had trouble getting it out the second time. And finally did. Just took a long time to get out there. And yeah, we were taking it out in the end. Yeah, we're doing this now. We need a T-stop here at this time on the pan camera.
How's the barber pole look up there, boy?
It looks great. Okay,
Roger,
that one came in.
That's a full retract.
Good. Beautiful. Now you want to do number 1?
That's affirmative, and the time of the other one was 1:55.
Turn on number 1 now.
Okay, Houston, going to retract on number 1. Mark it. Barber pole.
Okay, Houston, I got it officially going in.
Yeah, it doesn't come in very fast, does it?
Oh, okay.
America, Houston, go to off on the switch. We're at stall current. Do you have a barber pole or is it gray?
It was still a barber pole. And you want number two to off also?
Stand by, Ron. That's affirmative, Ron. Number two to the off.
Okay, number two is going to off now.
Okay, and a preliminary quick look shows a nominal retract on both of them, Ron.
Ah, mighty fine. That's good. Although I was getting the camera ready here to take some pictures.
Down here by you can pick linear segments if you want to on some of that one long one that goes all the way across there. Now it's got a bunch of this is a truly sinuous one down right down here. Look at this one
right down here. See, just the side of that little, it's a short one.
I think that's Prince on up there. Just yeah, be right. Can you get him back there?
Yeah.
Here, take it. Should be, the lowest one?
Yeah, right.
Oh, well, let me get these first then. Or can you get those now? Okay, pan camera standby.
Hey,
you got it. Yep. It's my frame number here. Wait a minute, it's 105.
We'll
take one more picture.
Ron, did you get the pan camera to T-Stop?
We have a dim but good view of the Cobra's Head and Schroeder's Valley and the Aristarchus Plateau. It's not as bright as it was the first night we were here, but still bright enough to distinguish their outlines.
Roger.
We're ready to go to retract on the mapping camera. Okay.
We're watching it.
3, 2, 1. Mark it. Barber pole. Okay, we'll stand by in our queue for the camera.
And camera powered off.
leave your altimeters off.
Okay. Stand by for B-52.
Okay, the mapping camera cover is going closed. Mark it.
Negative on that, please.
And it's gray.
Hey, negative. Nope. I ain't got a wheelie.
That's my fault, Bob. I thought that camera was already in when you gave us the go on it.
And I put it back to open, and it went Barbara Pullman gray again. It acted properly.
Roger.
The mapping camera is closed now. It's retracted, I mean. Yeah, we're okay.
Houston, we're standby for your go on closing that cover.
Roger, stand by. Ron, we'd like one test here. We'd like to take the mapping camera track switch to retract and verify the barber pole stays gray.
Houston, it's in retract right now, or still has been all the time, and the barber pole is still gray.
Okay, you're clear to close the mapping camera laser altimeter cover.
Okay.
Okay, it's closed, barber pole, and then gray.
I recognize Sirius.
Gave you another easy one, huh?
Yeah, another easy one. Maybe I'll do that one again. Plus 0.065.
Minus
0.050. Minus 0.039. Okay, we'll torque at 1450.
Roger, Ron, we copied those.
That won't make any difference.
Okay, Ron, we copied those.
Okay. Okay, let's pick a pair.
Watch Rigel.
Should be Alphard, I think. Two stars, huh? Outside of the field of view of the section, both of them were. Okay, 21. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, let's start this one. I'll do another one. Yeah, that brought it in there nice and close. We'll just tweak her up just for the heck of it. Yep. Another time to that was close enough, really, but it's within the limits, but I'd like to get her down to at least 0.01. Are you still?
Captain, you want those O2 tank heaters pulled on?
That's affirmative, Gino.
Okay, we'll pull the O2 tank 50 watt heaters. The 50 watt heaters. Three of them open, and the O2 1 and 200 watt heaters closed.
America,
okay,
Houston.
Those heaters take care of Houston.
You see you going around the corner here, and you're looking good as you go by us.
Okay, thank you.
Well, the heck with it. Okay.
You got lots of CMPs watching today, Brad.
CDR is taking over now.
You take care of that.
After that, the LMP drive one.
No, sir. I just got tired of looking at it. That's why I'm going to do the next one.
Ron, Stu said that all CMPs ought to accept the two. It just makes you more humble.
Yeah, no. I really accepted it, but I just thought I could do better.
And one thing that you can't do is make Ron more humble.
Just a reminder with 1 minute to go, Ron, we want to remind you to go back to to the autopilot when you're done with your 52s, and the final score in the game was 16-0, Miami over Baltimore.
I'm okay, mighty fine. Commander's down there trying his luck now.
We're all watching. We just hope we see it before you go LOS.
If you don't hear about it, if you miss it, don't worry.
This is Apollo Control. We've had loss of signal as the spacecraft America passed behind the moon on revolution number 74. Be out of sight from the Earth for approximately 48 minutes. Coming up in 2 hours and 16 minutes on the trans-Earth injection burn behind the moon during at the end of revolution number 75. To repeat, the ignition time currently is ground elapsed time of 2:36:42:08. A burn of 3,046.9 feet per second to boost the spacecraft out of lunar orbit and on a trajectory toward Earth and splash down in the South Pacific Tuesday afternoon. The Spaceflight Meteorology Group of the National Weather Service said this afternoon that weather conditions are expected to be satisfactory for the landing and recovery of Apollo 17 next Tuesday. The weather forecast for the planned landing area, which is located about 350 miles southeast of American Samoa, calls for scattered to broken clouds, winds at 10 knots, 3-foot seas, and temperatures near 81 degrees. Members of the white team of flight controllers are beginning to drift in for the handover just prior to acquisition of signal next revolution. We're estimating a change of shift press conference at approximately 4 p.m. in the small briefing room with the offgoing flight director, Neil Hutchinson. To repeat, estimated change of shift press conference at 4 o'clock, small briefing room, Houston News Center. At 2:34:26, this is Apollo Control. This is Apollo Control again at 2:34:28. Scrub that last estimate of a change of shift briefing and back it up to 3:45 p.m. Repeat, 3:45 p.m. in the small briefing room, the Houston News Center, with Flight Director Neil Hutchinson at 2:34:28. This is Apollo Control out.
This is Apollo Control at 234 hours, 48 minutes. We'll be regaining radio contact with Apollo 17 in about 20 minutes. The change of shift press briefing is ready to start momentarily in the MSC News Center briefing room. We'll switch you to the briefing room at this time. This is Apollo Control at 235 hours, 8 minutes, now less than 1 minute from regaining radio contact with Apollo 17. And when once again we hear from the crew, they should be in the midst of eating their last meal in lunar orbit. Everything is in very good shape for the trans-Earth insertion maneuver to be performed at the end of this revolution. And at the beginning of the 76th revolution, as they come around the front side of the moon, they'll be on their way back to Earth. During this front side pass, we'll be passing up to the crew the final set of numbers that will be fed into their computer, targeting the trans-Earth injection burn. Also, we have the times for acquisition of signal following TEI. With the normal TEI burn, we would expect to acquire signal at 236 hours, 55 minutes. If for some reason the burn is not performed as planned, we would regain radio contact at 239 hours, 7 minutes, 18 seconds. And we should have AOS momentarily. Yeah, one correction to the AOS times that are without the burn. If the trans-earth injection burn is not performed, the acquisition of signal time is 237 hours, 7 minutes, 18 seconds, rather than 239 hours as we gave you. Again, those times with the burn, 236 hours, 55 minutes. Without the burn, 237 hours, 7 minutes, 18 seconds. That would be about 12 minutes, 18 seconds later if the burn is not done. We've got good solid telemetry from the spacecraft.
Hello, America, Houston. Over. America, this is Houston. You're loud and clear on your last time around, over.
Okay, Gordo, you're loud and clear. We thought we'd lost you there for a little bit. just finishing up an E period and looked around, and the spacecraft still looks good on board.
Okay, sounds good.
Got some gyro torque and angles if you'd like them, please.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, the last P-52 produced gyro torque of minus 011, minus 007, and minus 002. GET torque time was 234.2607. And let's just let it suffice to say we torqued on the commander's P-52.
Okay. Go ahead.
Yeah, Gordy, Gene was trying to call you guys for about 4 or 5 minutes after we had fairly good uplink signal strength. And you didn't answer until you said that was the first time you called. Is that something that you can explain down there?
I think it is. But let me make sure I get the right answer here.
We did not change any configuration in the spacecraft during that 5 minutes.
Roger. America, Houston, I guess we don't have an explanation. We checked with the site. They were locked on and can't see any reason why, if you were coming down, that we didn't hear you. America, Houston, do you read now?
Well, that's firm, Gordy. Sorry, we were discussing whether or not we had really transmitted. Apparently, we had.
Okay, we'll keep checking here, but first glance doesn't turn up any answers.
Okay, well, after the next run, we would like to have comm as soon as possible, and that's what I was checking on.
Roger. America, Houston, we're ready with all the updates, both verbal and electronic, whenever you are.
Okay, stand by a few, please.
Oh. Houston, you want the computer?
That's affirmative. We're ready with the uplink. Okay. America, Houston, the uplink's in there. You can go back to block.
Okay.
Okay, Houston, we're ready to take final TEI pad from you.
Okay, Jack, here's the numbers you've been waiting for. TEI, Rev 75, SBS / GNN. 36372. Plus 063 plus 086. Now 33 is 236 420835 plus 30398 minus 01850 plus 00661. Attitude is 180000 and 000. Now 44, HA is NA, HP is a plus 00228. Delta V total is 30461225. 30285. Sextant star is 06109530. Foresight star is NA. Noun 61 is a minus 1787. Minus 16600. 10474 36172. GET for 05G is 304 1832. GDC stars are Sirius and Rigel. 136-071-035. Knowledge is 4 jets, 12 seconds. And 3 remarks. Number 1 is single bank burn time is 229er. Number 2, post TEI RCS Delta V. Is equal to 173 feet per second. And number 3 remark is the SPS PU aux flow valve decrease. And then control as required. Over.
Houston, here's your readback. TEI 75 SPS GNN 36372 plus 063 plus 086 236420835 plus 30398 minus 01850 plus 00661 180 all zeros and all zeros. HA is in A, plus 00228-30461-225-30285-06-1095-300. Borsart star is in A, minus 1787, minus 16600, 10474-36172-30418. 32. Sirius and Rigel, 136-071-035. The LH is 4 jets for 12 seconds. Remarks, 1, single bank burn time, 2, plus 2-niner. 2, post TEI RCS Delta V is 173 feet per second. And 3, the SPS PU aux flow valve will start in decrease and then control as required.
Okay, that's good readback, and I have another one of those for Rev 76.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, it's TEI 76, SBS / GNN. Weight is 36372 plus 063. Plus 086 238 420762 plus 30799 minus 02837 plus 00048 180-359-358. All the rest of the pad is NA. GDC stars are Sirius and Rigel. 136-071-035. 4 jets for 12 seconds. The remark is burn attitude based on TEI RefSman. Go ahead.
Okay, TEI 76.
SPS GNN 36372 plus 063 plus 086 238-420762 plus 30799 minus 02837 plus 3048 180359 and 358. Rest of pad is NA. Sirius and Rigel 136071035. All ages 4 jets for 12 seconds. And the remark is burn based on DEI rest mat.
Okay, and one more is a map update. It goes on the flight plan opposite 236 hours and 50 minutes on the right side of the page. That's firm.
Go ahead.
Okay, and the AOS without burn is 237-0718. And the nominal good TEI AOS will be 236-5500. Over.
Okay, AOS without, 237-0718. AOS with, 236-5500.
Okay, Jack, we're getting pretty good with these pads. Another 3 days, we ought to have a down pad.
I think so, Gordy. Is that an offer, or do we have a choice?
Okay. Yeah.
I presume you meant 3 days around the moon, didn't you?
I don't know. 3 days to splashdown.
It's all right, Gordy. I know what you meant.
We got a lot of parties planned. I don't want to put off. Okay, we'd like the high gain in auto. And also, Ecom would like the H2 fans reconfigured, number 2 off, number 1 on. Over.
Okay, as per Ecom's request, H2 fan 2 is off and number 1 is on.
Okay, and we've taken another check on the problem with AOS is rev. We have several sites confirmed that they had a solid downlink signal strength and that none of them heard you. We were wondering if you'd found anything in audio panel configuration possibly that would explain it. Over.
Gordy, no, but it's conceivable I could have been keying the intercom. I don't think so, but it's certainly conceivable. I checked everything else around here.
Okay, Gene, you're loud and clear now, so I guess we'll let it go at that.
Houston, this is Command Mark Spahn. Do you read me now?
That's affirmative, Ron, loud and clear.
Okay, I'm on the auto panel that Gene was on when he first transmitted.
Sounds good.
Okay. 10, Houston, Delta V test is minus 22.2.
Roger.
Gordo, this is America. Are you ready for the mapping camera?
Roger, Gino. Stand by. Okay, we're ready.
Okay.
Okay, mapping camera is off.
mapping camera is standby. And image motion is off.
Roger.
Houston, I'm waiting your cue to check out the number two pressure indicator.
Okay, stand by, Jack.
On SBS, of course.
Okay, Jack, we're ready. Okay, we watched it.
And Houston America, the UMS delta V test went from plus 100 to plus 100.5, and it went from minus 100 to minus 99.5.
Copy, Jeff. Ron.
Ah, come on. WC is set 3028.5. We're going to be in standby. Okay, we're cage rate 2. America, we'll pick up the star segment check and set the tap when we're at attitude.
Roger. Mark, Houston with some words about the pan camera operation after TEI.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, we haven't told you about this, but we noticed a failure during the last operation of the pan camera of the stereo. It's completely failed, and so when you go to operate, which is about 7 minutes after AOS, after TEI, you can expect to get a barber pole after three frames of cycle through. I want you to just ignore that and let it run. We figure you have 2 minutes of film left, but we won't be able to monitor end of film because you'll be on TV on the FM. So we're going to limit the pan camera operation to 5 minutes total, and we'll be able to give you the mark when to turn it off after the 5 minutes. Over.
Okay, Gordo, at 2:37 on the flight plan, we'll expand camp operate. We'll ignore the barber pole. We'll run for 5 minutes and we'll shut it down in your queue.
That sounds good.
Houston, the pan camera is going to boost. And also, we're presently configured with the IR on and the cover open. Apparently, flight plan neglected to have us turn it off, or are we supposed to burn with it open?
Let me check in. America, Houston, we'd like the IR cover closed. Keep the sun out of it.
attachment off?
Negative. Leave the IR on, and I'll get back to you a minute on all these covers.
Okay, Gordy, cover's closed, and we'll wait your further word.
America, Houston, on the covers, we want all three covers closed according to the pre-SBS burn cue card. The instruments, the IR, UV, keep running until after TEI when you open the covers back up per the flight plan. Over.
Okay, we'll do that going on, Miguel. This country is part of this planet for the next group to explore, I guess.